This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the old sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, along for the ride here. And, boy, Charlie, look at outside there, huh? Whoa.
Wow.
It's nasty.
It's pouring.
Yeah. And the temp is apparently going to continue to drop. And then that's going to be fun for people on the road. So we'll kind of judge what the heck we do today.
We might
based
be staying
on,
here for the rest of the weekend.
And just quickly, if I had a cigar to hand you, no, if I had a cigar, I would give you one or a whole box full.
Cigars, good. I like cigars.
Yeah, that usually goes along with a birth announcement, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
What, you're having a baby?
Well, I've had one. As a matter of fact, in this past week, I have learned that I have a new daughter in my family who on June 2nd will celebrate her 50th birthday.
Oh, my.
And the story of how all this came about, quite something. I'm going to do a little unveiling of the story between myself and my new daughter, Natasha, sometime just shortly after 2 o'clock on my show this afternoon.
We look forward to hearing more details on that. Congratulations,
of course.
But, of course, when you said the story of how this all came about is it's kind of not rocket science how babies come about, right?
No, that's quite true, quite true. But the story that wraps around that is rather
And the fact that
fun.
You've just, yeah, discovered a brand new family member.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so you point out the weather. You're absolutely right.
You've got a gig up in Barrie.
Things are not pretty, exactly. So after the show, I am supposed to be jumping in my car and racing up the highway to Barrie to the Tangle Creek Golf Club, where the Barrie Garden Club is hosting their spring seminar all day today. So not sure whether I'm going to make it there or not. I will do my best. I should be there on stage at 1:30 this afternoon. And my topic is great gardens with less water as it's pouring rain. Boy, what kind of a spring are we having so far? This is just wacky. Hey, remember last week I told you about the Zoomer show, the garden episode of the Zoomer show that I taped 2 weeks ago or so? That will be airing this Monday evening, or sorry, this Monday 9 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Vision TV, and again on Friday, April 20th, 2 p.m. and 11 p.m. And, of course, it's also posted online at thezoomertv.com.
Right.
So you can catch that episode, because I know you are very interested to learn more about gardening.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
You are right.
Oh, right. You're saying that sarcastically.
No, I'm not.
So I hear you're now the proud owner of an orchid, speaking of gardening.
Yes.
Yes, well, I'm sure we'll talk more about that at some point, too. Okay, just one more thing coming up. Oh, cool.
How about that? I remember that. Yes.
What's the common name of a phalaenopsis?
Oh, I don't know.
Moth orchid.
Moth.
If you look at the flowers, they kind of look like a moth. They have those wings on the side.
Very
moth orchids. Phalaenopsis, very cool. And you that Latin just rolls off your tongue, man.
Indeed
you're good.
It does.
Okay, so this Monday, April 16th, I will be at the Port Hope Horticultural Society meeting, the Ruth Clark Center, 81 Mill Street in Port Hope, 7 p.m., special presentation all about gardening as we mature. Perfect timing, of course, after the Ageless Gardens TV series that just aired here on Vision TV. And I will have DVD copies of the TV series with me for sale for anyone interested in watching again and again and again. One more important thing. There's so much going on. Oh, right. Next Sunday, April 22nd, I'm joining the 8th annual Hosta Forum at the Glencairn Golf Club, 9, 9 807 Regional Road 25 in Halton Hills. It's an all-day Hosta event.
Oh.
So for the Hosta fans, man, this is one you do not want to miss.
All right.
I'll be on stage at 12:45 speaking about gardening in a changing climate. Of course, there's lots going on with other speakers, auctions, prizes, food. It's an all-day big event. Tickets are not available at the door. So if you want to go, register in advance at Norm Limpy, Norm L-I-M-P-Y, at hotmail.com. And I heard from Heather Sinopoli from the Riverdale Horticultural Society. They are selling worm castings again this spring as their annual fundraiser. You've had some good success with those in the past.
Indeed, yeah.
Large bags, which is about a 50-pound bag, cost a mere $15. That's $15. Half-size bags are $10. More information, RHS, for Rich Riverdale Hort Society, RHS, wormcastings@gmail.com.
Okay. You know, I forgot to pass along the phone numbers for
everything.
Yeah. Okay. So, our little mantra goes, call early, call often, one question per call. The phone numbers, if you're in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. I'll do that again, 1-866-740-4740. And if you are a first-time caller, let Joshua Barbeau, who is our operator today, know, and he'll pass that along. And when you arrive at the airwaves,
hey, you get your wings.
Exactly. Back in just a moment here on The Garden Show as we swim about on this Saturday morning.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And we're going to, hey, water is in the next, not just outside, but we're going to Waterford, and there's Jerry on the line. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie. Love your show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Okay, I have two David Austins, and I would like to know when I should cut them back and how far. And right now they look dead, but I'm hoping they're not.
So first question, I assume you bought them and planted these roses?
Yes, coming up to 3 years ago.
All right, and do you recall when you got the roses, are they growing on their own roots or are they grafted?
Oh, good question. They were a Mother's Day gift, last gift from my husband, so I don't know.
And in the past winters, have you ever mounded soil around the roses as protection? No. Okay. And they have survived the winters?
They have, I think. Well, as I say, right now they look kind of dead, but I don't know.
Well, most of the roses are, most of the canes, particularly the tops of the canes, are dead on the roses at this point. Of course, no rush to get out to the garden for this weekend. The roses should be alive at the crown, which is way down where the root and the canes come together, ground level, basically.
Right.
So for now, just leave your roses alone. Wait until we start getting some warmth, some sunshine, some dryness in the air. You will get out there with your sharp pruners. You'll get down on your hands and knees, and you will cut the roses right back to, well, I bring mine down to about 2 inches tall. So, you know, not very big.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're talking like 5 centimeters. Now, you also have to choose which canes to keep. When you look down at your rose, it should look like an open hand with the fingers or the canes growing away from the center to the outside of the plant.
Right.
If there's any little branches or stems or canes growing on the inside, particularly rubbing together or interfering with each other or looking like they're going to come together into the center of the plant, they are cut out, removed entirely. So that's a great spring job on a dry, sunny day. When I'm doing that pruning back, I will typically also fertilize at that time. So depending on whether you're fertilizing with compost or fertilizing with rose food, roses love food and will respond very favorably to being fed in the spring when you're doing that cutting back.
Great.
All righty.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck with that.
2 inches.
Yep. Just as a rule of thumb, though, because you want to encourage new growth, and it's on that new growth that you'll get lots of flowers.
And a lot of stems on these two rose bushes yet.
Yes, probably. Most of us are afraid to prune and don't prune enough. So
okay.
Spring is the time to do it. Roses respond very well to pruning.
All righty. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for calling.
You betcha. And boy, oh boy, I'm just looking out the window. I can't get over the
I can't even see out the window.
Yeah.
It's like solid. It's like a sheet of water.
Well, all righty then. Okay. Let's swim upstream here.
Yeah, swim home.
Over to Mississauga. There's Lynn. Good morning, Lynn.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I have a little plant I bought at the grocery store a couple of weeks ago called Ranunculus.
That's right, yep.
And I want it, it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's got a nice tight bloom on it, like it's got three blooms.
Nice.
And I just wanted to know, is that a perennial or annual? Is it something I could leave, I could plant outside and leave outside over the winter?
No, it is not. It's not a perennial. It will not survive outside.
Okay.
However, it will be a very nice annual out in your garden once we are frost-free and ice-free outside. Sunny location, you can incorporate that plant into a mixed planter. You could plant it in a sunny location. They're small, you know, very compact growing, lovely flowers. People are always super attracted to the flowers because they're poofy. They're like little, you know, those flowers they decorate cars with for weddings, right?
Yeah, those very tight
super,
the petals together.
Yeah, just, super fluffy, lots of petals. So, and they're bright. They're very attractive flowers. So just keep it. You've got it in the house, which is good. You wouldn't want it out in this weather right now. And yeah, just keep it indoors until we're frost-free and then get it out into the sunshine. It should do fine all summer.
And will it continually bloom?
It should.
Keep fertilizing
Exactly. Keep fertilizing and give it enough sun and a reason. Make sure it's a well-drained soil.
And what kind of family of plants does that belong to? Is it related to mums or something?
No. They're definitely not mum family, but off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you, but I will certainly look that up and let you know.
Yeah, it was grown in Canada, the tag said.
Yes.
I guess that doesn't really...
No, but that's good. We like, that's that, you know, grow local, buy local, enjoy local. So, and there are a number of growers that do grow ranunculus at this point, at this time, because there's just, they're so pretty. This is the time of year we get them, too.
Yeah, it looks nice and cheery. In my
well, particularly on a gray day.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Lynn.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. And we're bumping up against our next little break here. So just sit back, relax. You are listening to The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio with, of course, starring Charlie Dobbin. And if you want to contact Charlie, by the way, via email, here's her address, okay?
Because it works now. My email is back on
track.
Yes,
thanks
so
to the guys in the IT department
there.
C.Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, here we go. One in town, maybe just around the corner, Elaine on the line. Good morning, Elaine.
Morning, how are you today?
Great.
Morning, great.
Nice gray day.
Totally.
Charlie, I'm calling about my Hoya plant. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Ed Lawrence, and someone called in bragging about their Hoya plant. They're profusely blooming, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Do you hate that?
And here is mine. Here is mine that I've had for about 6-7 years. It's huge.
Oh,
it's
my.
Beautiful.
But it's languishing in terms of flowers, is it?
Yep, and I've tried making it go to the faucet by itself to get water, that
I was
they said.
Say,
I've got it on an east window. I would really like some blooms. What can I do?
Well, okay, so is the east window the brightest window you have?
Right now, yes.
Okay, because the Hoya does respond well to the brighter, the brightest light possible. They're a very, it's almost a succulent. You know, the leaves are very leathery.
Yeah.
Lots of storage opportunity for liquid within the plant.
Right.
So that's why they joke about, you know, make it find its own water.
Right.
So the trick with Hoya is when you think it's time to water, wait another week.
I've done that.
And so, yeah, just you want, that's the stress part. You want to take it to the point of water stress, and often it will start forming flower buds as a response. We don't really know why. die, we always say, well, the plant thinks that, you know, its death is near, therefore it thinks it better get some flowers going to produce some seeds so that, you know, the genetics are maintained.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? I'm not sure. We anthropomorphize plants all the time.
Well, so, I've done that.
Yeah.
So what about fertilizer?
Well, at this time of year, days are getting longer. All the plants are responding to the longer days. So there's no question it is an appropriate time to be fertilizing all of our plants.
Okay,
indoor
what kind?
Plants. With Hoya, you'd stick to a flowering plant fertilizer.
Okay.
So it's going, it could be Miracle-Gro. It could be anything that's going to encourage flowering. So it's just a question of sort of feeding the indoor plants, excuse me, and then getting outside. And we'll be feeding our outdoor plants soon once we can get outside.
Okay, so I'm doing all the right things, but it's not cooperating.
Yeah, well, and the more, if you could increase the light levels, it might make a difference as well. Even consider some supplementary lighting, perhaps.
Grow light, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thanks very much.
Thanks,
Elaine.
Know how that goes.
All righty. And, off to my old stomping grounds of St. Catharines to welcome Shelley to the line here. Hey, hi, Shelley. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. I called last week, Charlie, and asked you about my begonias for planting them. And I got that job done this week. But now I'd like to know, where do I put them? Do I put them in the south window for some warmth and some heat to get them started? Or do I keep them in more the north side where it's more shady?
Okay, good question. The heat value is a good one from the bottom. So having warm soil will speed up growth of the begonia tuber. However, the actual plants do not need bright, intense light. So I'd go north window with a heating pad underneath or on top of the fridge where it's nice and warm as well. You have no growth yet, right? They're still dormant, the tubers?
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, one of them was actually starting to show some signs of a little bit of a bud coming out.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
They surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when they go outside, they're going to go into a fairly low light situation. Inside,
yes.
Of course, I spoke a bit wrong there in the sense that inside, because our windows typically have all kinds of UV filters and they're, you know, really good at trying to limit the high light intensity coming into our homes, might not be a bad idea to take your tubers and have them actually in the south window. But do keep an eye. Turn the containers every day 180 degrees because you want balanced growth. They will respond to that light. It's just when you get outside, you don't want such intense light. And if they start to look kind of pale as the leaves start to unfurl, if the greenness seems to be paling down, then get them out, get them in a little less light because there's a fine line between too much light and they'll burn and not enough light and they'll stretch.
Okay, so maybe on top of the fridge then, which is kind of nestled.
That's your bottom heat, right? That'll give you that warmth from below, and that'll encourage that growth to start. Once it starts, though, it's probably quite dark up on top of your fridge. So once you start getting those little leaves starting to form and to sort of protrude from the tubers, then get them into the windowsill. And you're right, the southern window is always warmer than the north. So better to start in the south. You may have to move to the north in the next month or so. Unless for some reason spring comes and you can get them outside in the next month or so.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. All right. Well, with this ice storm thing coming, I'm thinking, well, maybe it was a good time that I started them because they're not too far advanced in only a day.
Yeah, no, that's great. It is a good time definitely now because you want to get them woken up and actively growing before you take them outside, and then it'll only be a matter of weeks before you have blooms.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Well, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for calling again.
And actually, I'm going to apologize on behalf of both of us.
Yeah.
We're both suffering from this darn cold. It's like the 100-day cough I've heard
it's the cough
referred
that's
to.
The killer. I know.
You think you get rid of it, and damn, the next day you're back hacking and coughing.
I know. It's true. And I keep getting emails from people. Like, I remember Mark DeZero, who's been on the show with us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, you want to come to Toronto, come on the show. He goes, oh, I have this cough. I can't come on the radio. And I was like, oh, yeah, I hear
you
about
the cough. And, you know, you can't control it. So our apologies in advance
for
any
future. We sound like, a couple of tuberculosis-type people here.
All righty. Let's wander over to Wanda. Hey, in Scarborough. Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning, Wanda.
Your information is always appreciated.
Good stuff.
I have this Rose of Sharon in the southeast corner fence, and it's about 7.5 feet tall. It has one main trunk that's a little bit curved, and then there's two straight ones that I would like to cut out, if that's possible.
So the one main stem from the ground, and then the two straight ones, where do they come off that main stem? How far above the ground?
They're quite close, really.
To the ground?
Yes.
But you would prefer this plant to be a tree rather than a shrub?
That's right. And I used to have to pick up 50 of the little spent flowers every day.
Oh, yeah.
So I would like to make it a little smaller.
Right. Good idea. And this is the time to do it, though obviously not today.
No
pruning when it's this wet, and nobody wants to be outside if they can avoid it today. However, spring is definitely the right time to be doing whatever pruning, particularly pruning for shape. Rose of Sharon responds extremely well to being pruned in the spring. So what you'll do, when you can get outside on a nice dry day, sharp pruners, and to remove those the straight stems that, like you said, are fairly close to ground level is not a big deal. The main thing is look closely. You will see that on your main slightly curved stem that you referred to, the main one from the ground.
Yes.
And then the other little branches come off of it. There is going to be what we call a branch collar. So there's a little kind of a ring around that branch that is shooting off of the main stem. You want to cut just outside the branch collar. You don't want to damage the branch collar, but you don't want to cut too far beyond, otherwise you'll end up with a stub that will just rot and look horrendous. So the spot to do your trimming is quite clear when you take a look, and you'll see that ring, and you'll cut a nice clean cut right at the outside line of that ring. It will heal over quite quickly. Meanwhile, you might want to even bring the top down if it's already 7.5 feet tall.
Yes.
Bring down a couple of feet off the top, because again, you want those flowers to be at eye level, not way up, you know, second
right.
story. So no worries, you know, take 2 feet, 2.5 feet off the top, not a problem
good.
Whatsoever. And just remember, when you're doing your pruning, prune to an outside facing bud. So
yes.
that the next growth that will begin after you've done your pruning will grow to the outside of the plant, not to the inside of the plant, where it gets all, starts running into each other and gets damaged and looks silly.
Well, I was going to mention those two sprouting stems are about an inch in diameter.
Okay.
So I need a saw.
You may. Either that or, yeah, well, there are what we call limbing saws. They're small, sharp saws used for those tight situations. Or a good pair of loppers could work as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, sharp tools are absolutely important. Now, with a bigger branch like that, we use a three-cut method. You don't want to make your first cut your final cut.
No.
Instead, bring it down, you know, leave it a foot high, stub. So get rid of that top bit. Now go right down to where your final cut's going to be and make it nice and clean. Because when you start to make a cut with a heavier branch, it keels over, gravity takes it down to the ground, and before you know it, it strips bark right down off the main plant, which you do not want to do. You don't want to do any bark damage to what you're, you know, the final plant that's being left behind.
No.
Okay.
And there's one other little piece that's coming off the main branch.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if I could just take it off too to shape it.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
So that's not going to hurt the...
Not at all. It's the time to do it. Like, not today, but spring is the time to do it for sure.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Prune for shape and for health.
All right.
Thanks, Wanda.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wanda.
Send pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, now, here's a location that fits the occasion. Bellwood, Ontario.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where Marilyn's calling from. And
she's a first-time caller.
Yay. So here's the bell.
Bells
and
Bellwood.
Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Nice to be on the show.
Yeah.
We have the rain up here, too, so not to worry. You're not the only one.
I know. What's your temperature like there right now? Do you know?
Very cold.
Yeah. Ooh. Like below zero?
Not quite, but I think it's just hovering on the zero line. I haven't really been out. I don't want to go out.
No, don't. No. Don't. No, I know. It's just that's the whole thing is the temperature's going to drop as the day goes along. And it was 2 degrees when I got here, so I'm not sure. I'm going to check and see what it is now.
Well, there were ice crystals on the walkway, so it can't be that warm.
Okay. Yeah, because you're cooler. You're near Guelph.
You're always quite a bit cooler, two or 3 degrees anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have a quick question about hosta.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the best time to thin them out is in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and and I want to move some of them because we are moving out of we are moving to another house this year.
Okay.
And I'd like to take some of them with me.
Good
or
idea.
Part of them,
yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. they're getting pretty crowded anyway. So how do I go about that? Do I take them out this spring and plant them in a pot,
yep.
or do I wait to the fall?
No, I would pot them up if you can. Meaning, mm-hmm. you have good sized pots. Like, you don't want to try and cut that root back so far that now the poor little plant is struggling. So make sure you've got minimum 1 gallon, 2 gallon nursery sized pots.
Okay.
Dig up and easiest time by far to do this is in the spring, mm-hmm. before the leaves emerge from below ground.
Yeah.
It's very clear where the noses, if you will, of the hostas will be coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, with a sharp shovel, you can easily sever pieces away from the mother plant or the main plant.
Mm-hmm.
And with that severed crown, because, of course, there's the nose, that ground level, following down, there's the root below. So that's that whole chunk which will go into a pot.
Okay.
But if you're not moving till the, like, when are you moving? Like September, October?
We don't know because we're building a house.
Right.
And
yeah.
it's going to depend on the builders
that's
and how
right.
quickly it gets done. Probably won't be until the late fall or early winter.
Hmm. So
that's why I'm questioning if I should do it in the spring or wait.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to maintain them. Once they're above ground in pots, you're going to have to maintain them, which can be a bit of a pain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think it's likely you're going to move that late, then I would probably wait till the fall. Because in the fall, by the time we get into September, mid, even late September, you can just go through and cut the leaves down.
Yeah.
And then again, now you, again, can see in the fall what we can see in the spring, which is exactly
mm-hmm.
where the growing points are. So
yeah.
you could do that same lifting. Now, keep in mind, though, if you're not going to get a chance to plant these hostas in their final location, in their new home, make sure that you at least leave the hostas in the pots.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the new place, bury the pots underground for the winter.
Bury it underground or keep it inside in the garage?
No, don't keep it inside. No, just bury them underground. Be much easier. And you won't know where they are because it'll just be like a wasteland. So make sure you've got some little markers, stakes or something that you stick in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do that. Obviously, the construction people are going to be working there all summer and fall. So,
yeah.
And if you're close enough, you can just drive over at your own convenience.
Yes.
Just designate a little corner where the construction people aren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put up a little bit of a fence, you know, with some string and some wires, some bamboo stakes. Let them know that you're going to be moving some landscape plants into that corner and they're not to be driving or interfering. And just work
mm-hmm.
away at it throughout the summer.
Okay.
Start with the pots above ground, and then as we get closer to winter, just sink them under the ground before winter.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And where is that conference next weekend or that hosta?
That's in Milton. That's the big hosta event. It mm-hmm. is in Milton. Where is it?
Is that Glengarry Golf Club or something like that?
Yeah, Glencairn. It's called
Glencairn
Golf Club, 9807 Regional Road 25.
And what was the gentleman's name to get the tickets?
Norm, N-O-R-M, Norm Limpy, one word, L-I-M-P-Y, Norm Limpy at hotmail.com.
At Hotmail.
Yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. Hopefully I'll see you next week.
Yes, hopefully.
Okay, thank you,
Marilyn. Thanks for calling.
Indeed.
And don't be a stranger.
Yeah, do not be a stranger.
Coffee's always on.
Just a reminder of the phone numbers as we go to another break here. Four in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Going to give Charlie a little break here, and she can recover some lost air there. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's run off to Milton. Wait, here.
Just before we go there, one quick thought I wanted to just share. Earlier in the show, Lynn called from Mississauga. She was wondering about ranunculus and the family and whether they were related to mums or anything like that. I said no, but I wasn't sure what the family. So it's easy. The family is Ranunculaceae, which is no surprise there, because family names always end with an A-E-A-E. Most well-known genera within the Ranunculaceae are obviously ranunculus, but also delphiniums belong to the same family, which is actually, their leaves are quite similar if you look closely. Thalictrum, again, a very very filigreed leaf. Clematis and aconitum. So all those plants are members of the same family. Clematis is the one that doesn't really fit, but all those other ones, the leaves are very, very similar.
All righty. Thanks for passing that along. Now, from Milton, here's Rosa. Hey, Rosa, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
I got 3 years ago two orchid plants. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the flowers were beautiful, and then the next year they came back. Then I had a friend, and she said to me that where the flowers grew, the stalk, she says you should take that off. So I took it off both of them. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a flower again. Mm. Now, I'm wondering that maybe if when I took that stalk off, I took it off completely. And maybe because that was where the flowers were coming from, that's where they're going to come from. Is that correct?
Well, the interesting thing about orchids is that they can, that green flower stalk that comes from low on the plant, and when we receive them as gifts, typically are full of buds and blooms.
Exactly.
And you're right. Your friend did what I always thought was the right thing to do, is once those flowers are done, and you've just got that green stem sticking out there, to remove it, because that's normally what we do when we deadhead. Blooms are gone, we remove the flower stem. But what I learned after that is that orchids are unusual in the sense that more buds can potentially grow off of that green flower stem. So we don't actually cut it away until it is brown right down to the base. Like, it will either die back and then we'll remove it, or we'll just leave it alone and, surprise, surprise, more buds and blooms can form. Meanwhile, though, another flower stem can also form down low on the plant. So let's think about what you're doing to encourage that to happen. So that's probably the main thing now, is just getting new flower stems growing. And that's light levels, right? Sort of soft, diffuse light. Northern or eastern window is a happy place for the orchids. Lots of consistent moisture, not wet, but consistent moisture for the plant. And the odd bit of fertilizer now and then. We're at that time of year where all the plants are going to benefit from some fertilizer. And of course, it's a specific orchid fertilizer you're going to use for the orchids.
A specific one, or it just doesn't matter? I'll go and say I want some orchid fertilizer, and they'll say what kind or whatever, or
Depending on where you're shopping, you go to a garden center, you might have a couple of choices. You go to like a Home Depot or something like that, you'll typically have one choice. Any of the orchid fertilizers, typically I get one that's water soluble, so it'll just say, you know, fertilizer for orchids, and then you mix with water the plants, or submerge, in a best case, what you do is you submerge pot and all under that fertilized water, let it really get in amongst all the bark and in amongst all those big spaces in the bark chips, and then drain it back in its window location, and they respond very nicely to that kind of an experience.
Then you are not you do not believe in putting the ice cubes in there?
I'm not a big fan of ice cubes. I think it's a little bit on the cold side for a tropical plant that has never seen an ice cube until it came to your house. So I just think it's kind of cold on their little roots. I avoid the ice cubes. I understand why they recommend it. It is a slow percolation of water, which is what orchids like, but it's so cold, I don't think it's a very happy percolation of water. I prefer to actually immerse the pots under liquid, room temperature water or fertilized water, so that they just really, really get a good saturation and then a good drain in the sink and then back onto the window ledge. And, you know, that's every week or 10 days, depending on how much sunshine we're getting and indoor temperatures. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. I was going to throw them out, but now I'm going to keep them and see what happens.
Yeah, don't.
Because they're very healthy. They're very, like, always the, oh, my God.
The greenest.
The leaves.
Yeah, the leaves.
The leaves come, so.
That's great. If the leaves are healthy, everything's going well. All you need to do is just give them that little extra push for some flowers.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
You're
Rosa.
You're welcome.
And we're going to have to take our final break of the show, and that will leave time to say hi to Lorraine, Marlene, and Lou, who are waiting online. We'll join them in just moments here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And here we go to Cambridge, and there's Lorraine. Hi, Lorraine. Hello, Lorraine.
Morning.
I usually trim my evergreens so that they're wider at the top and wider at the bottom,
right,
so there's green to the ground.
Good.
And my neighbor, helpfully in the last 2 years, has trimmed the cedar, so it's just a lot of brown sticks at the bottom.
Yes.
And it bulges out over the sidewalk. And if I start trimming now to cut back that bulge, would it grow back in at the bottom? I'll have to tell him not to do it anymore.
The challenge with cedar, how old are these cedars? Do you have any idea how long?
Very old. I've been here 30 years.
And they were there when you moved in?
Yes.
Well, cedars are a bit unpredictable. Sometimes the old woody growth at the bottom will not allow any new fresh growth,
okay,
and just stay brown and naked and ugly. Sometimes, though, surprisingly, new growth will form. It won't be necessarily uniform, but it will slowly fill in. It comes down to the health and vigor of the plants. So the older they are, typically the less vigor they have. But then again, if they've been fairly well maintained over the years, they're fairly healthy, you may find that, there's lots of opportunity for these plants to actually push new growth. They're certainly not going to get better left bulging over the sidewalk and narrow at the bottom. So you've either remove them and start again, or put that string line up and get them trimmed up so that they're narrower at the top and wider at the bottom. Even if you do end up exposing some sort of gnarly growth at the top, you're more likely to get fresh growth up there than you are at the bottom as we go into the season, right? I mean, this is all about timing. So your optimal time to be doing any trimming on your evergreen cedars and evergreens in general is when they're actively growing. And based on what's going on this spring, it is a while yet before we see any active growth in our evergreens. It's usually mid-June, early June kind of timing. So it's more just staying on top of the weather and seeing what's going on. But once you're starting to see that flush, the new buds forming on the evergreens, get out your shears and your pruners and start cleaning them up. They won't get better wide at the top and narrow at the bottom ever at all. So even if it looks silly, change it up.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
All right, Lorraine, thank you for joining us here on this watery Saturday morning. And Frank's reaching for the bell.
Get some exercise.
There it is.
Good stuff.
Marlene in Guelph. Good morning, Marlene.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. And happy rainy day.
I know. Gray exactly. Day all right across the province.
Yeah, so I have an amaryllis bulb, which I believe is just a few years old.
Mm-hmm.
I put it outside during the summer, mm-hmm, brought it back in, and put it in my cool, dark place until the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
Then I potted it, mm-hmm, brought it upstairs, and now it has four very healthy-looking leaves, mm-hmm, all 12 to 15 inches long, mm-hmm, but no flower.
No flower.
What happened?
You're experiencing what I have experienced for years and years, which is you follow the rules, you treat your amaryllis like you're supposed to, and it disappoints with no flowers, but gives you lots of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is don't give up, because after 30 years of trying or 40 years of trying, I actually succeeded this year for the first time ever and ended up with three bulbs reblooming from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest, what sort of worked, if you will, after 40 years of trying, what worked was do not take them out of the pots. Do again with this plant what you did last year. Let it grow as a green plant,
mm-hmm,
all spring inside, get it outside for the summer,
mm-hmm,
still in that pot, let it grow as a green plant somewhere out in the garden in the pot. Towards the end of the summer, bring it into a situation where it does not get any more water. So it's all those green leaves will shrivel up and turn yellow from lack of water. You'll clean up those green leaves. It's all just still in a pot, dry soil bulb, into that dark spot. It doesn't have to be super cool, but it just needs to be left alone. No water, no light. And that, you're right, it's kind of a September, October, November. Pull it out, one good thorough watering into a sunny location and see what happens.
Okay.
Cross your fingers, flowers come that time.
Okay.
Thanks,
Marlene. Thank you.
Alrighty. Thanks for calling.
And I'm glad we are able to get into our last call of the situation here because Lou is a first-time caller from
Maybe.
Whitby.
She's not sure.
Maybe. Okay. Well, we'll give him the ring anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello there.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Waiting for the weather to clear, but we know it's coming anyway.
Yeah.
So. My question for you today, Charlie, is I had read that Epsom salts is a good fertilizer for roses, and I'm just wondering if you agree with that or another brand would be better.
Okay, so Epsom salts are actually so amazing. They're mind-boggling because you can just about cure everything with Epsom salts.
Oh,
yes.
great. And so do I just mix it with water or just put it right into the soil?
No, you'll directly apply Epsom salts to the surface of the soil around your roses. What you do you have access to a computer? To the internet?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so there is something called, just Google Epsom salts. There is the Epsom Salt Council of Canada, and on their website it gives you all kinds of directions on how to use Epsom salts, including how to use them as food for roses.
Oh,
however,
wonderful.
Epsom salts are magnesium sulfate.
Right.
Magnesium and sulfur, nothing wrong with feeding roses. They need those elements, but they need more than just magnesium sulfate.
Okay.
So Epsom salt is not a balanced fertilizer. It's not a complete fertilizer. So you will still need to get a proper rose food for your roses to do the complete feeding that's required to truly encourage good looking and healthy growth. Okay?
So would I apply the Epsom salts and the fertilizer at the same time? Or
I'd probably wait a week or so in between. I'd probably go regular rose fertilizer first, followed by Epsom salts a week later. And unfortunately, we have to go.
Yeah, Lou,
thanks
we're out of time
call,
here,
Lou.
But thank you for calling.
Yes, there it is. The clock's
right.
Just ticking away there.
Whoa.
So yes,
yeah, gotta go.
Thank you, Frank.
Hey, thank you, Charlie.
Appreciate all your support, and I look forward to hearing more about your exciting announcement you'll be making later this afternoon with
and
some
I'm
of the
waving
details.
To the camera here to my new daughter. Natasha, who's listening
wave
in.
To him,
yeah.
Natasha.
And I'll be telling you the story of my new daughter coming up just after 2
okay,
this afternoon.
Okay? Good stuff. We'll be listening in.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Joshua. Great job. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.